Okay, let's start with the latter half of the Parsha, and then we'll go backwards this week. Chaim's like, no, I haven't gotten that far. You haven't really gotten to any of it. That's fine. Right, so the first half of the Parsha is the more dramatic part of the Parsha. That's Paro chasing them, the splitting of the sea, etc. The latter half of the Parsha is the beginning of the Jews complaining. Water, food, water. Right, now, we've talked about in the past, either last year or 2 years ago, that as much as the Jews seem to be complaining about water, food, water, right, there are three complaint stories in the latter half of the Parsha. What? I was like, just in this Parsha, it's water, food, water. No, the Amsuf, they complain they're going to die. Right? Then, right afterwards, they complain. Right then, as soon as you finish, right, it's Shiru Lashem Kigog Asus Rachvo Ramavayam. Right? It's like, praise God because he conquered the Egyptians, etc. Vayisa Moshe El Et Yisrael Miyamsu Vayisom Barshu Vayichush Loshit Amin Bamid Barfilo Batubayim. Right? And then they don't find water. And they can't drink water at Marah. Vayilonu Ha'am Al Moshe Lemor Manishka. So it takes 3 psukim after them singing about how great God is to start complaining about water. What? 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. It takes 3 days. And then Moshe performs the miracle and makes the water sweet. And then you get the next unit is they don't have food. And they said, mutenu biyad Hashem be'eretz Mitzrayim, let God kill us in Egypt. Why are you starving us to death? In a slow, painful death in the middle of the desert, in response to which God gives them right? Yeah, he gives them meat. Right, the slav. Very good. Right? And then he gives them and then they, after the slav, what does he give them? Man. Right, slav and man. And then the next unit in the story is immediately they don't find, well, after the Jews taking the, right, the Jews who try to take the man on Shabbos, collect the man on Shabbos, then you get another discussion of the Jews not having water and complaining yet again. And you get the first well. The first well. Well, water. What? It's water, food, water. Right? Water, food, water. Water at Marah, food, which is the Slav Man story in Refidim, and then water again. And that's where you get the well. So, we've talked about in the past that as much as they seem to be claiming about food, water, water, food, water, the main drama in this story, and in this sense, and this is why I want to start here, it connects the whole Parsha, is at the end of the story, how does the Torah summarize the whole unit? Vayikra Hashem ha-makom Masa u-miriva, al-riv b'nei Yisrael, v'anal nasotam en Adonai le'mor, hayesh Adonai b'kirbeinu im-ayin. It's called Masa because the Masa u-miriva, because they tested God to see, is God among us or not? Right, and we've talked about in the past what I think is shot when you read it, right, Foreman makes a big deal of this, and I think he's definitely right, is that what the Torah is trying to tell you is not really about water, food, or water. I mean, yes, they didn't have food, right, they didn't have those things, and they're complaining. The real drama of this story, and this carries out really through much of the Torah, is that the Jews are unclear whether God is with them. Now, this is pretty shocking, because as I said, this all comes on the heels of Kriyat Yam Suf. So why would they doubt that God is with them? And this is where you see that the drama of the theological drama of much of the Midbar is that the Jews seem to believe in God, But believing in God doesn't mean that you think that God will be with you. Maybe you think that God takes you out of Egypt and leaves you by yourself. Maybe you think that God took you out of Egypt because he wanted to destroy the Egyptians, but he's not present in the little details. Right? Meaning, this is what they're negotiating, is trying to figure out what is exactly does it mean that God is with them. Right? That's really what they're trying to figure out throughout the whole story. That's true in Yom Suf, right, where the people are panicking there, and it's true after Yom Suf. And what you see is that constantly much of the Midbar is about this. But to just add to that analysis, and again, I do think that even though this is the latter half of the Parsha, it frames much of what's going on, there's two things going on. Right? It's, and part of the drama throughout the Midbar is trying to figure out how much is God with us. The other part of the drama, which is related to that, is to figure out how much of what is happening is God, and how much of what is happening is Moshe. Right? That's the other big drama. As we know, that comes to a fore in the Egel. And there's this constant tension of, we have to make Elohim to replace the Ish who took us out of Mitzrayim. The line between God and man is not even clear. Moshe is somewhere in between. Right? And they don't really know. Right? This is the drama. But to add to it, Rav Bazak adds this nice little short analysis of the difference. If you read their complaints very carefully, you see how there are multiple layers to this. So he says, if you look at the first complaint, at the water complaint, number one, in Mara, so listen carefully. Vayiru ma'od, vayitz'aku v'nei Israel el Hashem. So in the first one, what do they say? What do? They daven directly to God. Right, so even though they seem to be doubting whether God's among them, their initial response is to turn to God. Which means that even if by the third story, the second water story, the third story overall of complaint, they're doubting whether God's among them, in the first one, it hasn't gotten there. So you could just say, look, the whole story is really about them figuring out whether God's with them. But a careful reading says maybe not. Maybe by the third one, they're doubting whether God's among them. So that forces us as to why only by the third one. In the first one, they're somewhat wondering that, but their response is daven to God, which means they feel like God is among them. So what happens in the food story? They say, right, Vayomru al Moshe hamibli en kvarim bimitzrayim. Sorry. Let me just have it open. Right, so they complain to Moshe, but they call out to God. But by the food story, what happens? They say, "Vayomer alem in Israel, mi yiten mutenu v'yad Adonai be'aretz Mitzrayim b'shiftenu al sir basar b'achoinu lechem l'stova, ki otzeitem otanu el amidbar hazeh l'amida kol hakala zeberav." There's a weird thing, which is, what do they say? Let us die in Egypt by the hand of God rather than you taking us out of Egypt. So what seems to emerge? That Moshe is taken out of Egypt, but they still have a connection with God. Meaning, they are convinced in the second story that they had a connection with God in Mitzrayim, and therefore would have rather died in connection with God, and they think that it's the exodus that's not from God. In it, ironically, by the second story, they think that in Mitzrayim they were with God. But now they don't think they're with God. And then, what do Moshe and Aaron therefore have to fight? They have to fight this belief that God didn't take them out. So they say, Erev yidatem geshem oti etchem eretz Mitzrayim. By nightfall, you know that it was God who took you out. Uvokeri uritem et kvod Hashem, b'shamot lo nidachem al Hashem, v'nachem laki, talinu aleinu. What are you complaining about? You'll see that it was God the whole time. How are you going to know? Because God is going to give you food, he's going to give you meat, he's going to give you bread. By the third one, what do they say? Why did you take us out to let us die? And then as we saw, the summary pasuk is, they tested God to say, is God among us or not? So what I would add to the, you know, the analysis in the past is, big God, the only thing is true, that the Jews throughout throughout the time in the Midbar are trying to figure out exactly what it means for God to be with them. You see, yes, he was there in Mitzrayim, but does that mean he still cares about us? Does he mean he's still with us? That's true, and there seems to constantly be in this tension between how much is God with them and how much is it just Moshe throughout all of the Midbar. But what Razak points out, if you read it carefully, is that part of the fear seems to be built up through their own frenzy. Right, is that they start off by being scared, but they turn to God. But once you're scared and you're doubting God, even if you're still turning to God, the next time it happens, you're saying, I believe that I was once with God, but Moshe, you're the one that took us out. And by the third time, they've worked themselves up into a frenzy, such a frenzy that God is out of the picture, and the place is called Masal Meribah, because they tested God to see if God among us at all. So on the one hand, there's the, I think, theological probings that the Jews are going through, which is, what does it mean for God to be with us? Is he still with us? Is he with us in the big things as well as the small things, etc.? But there's also, and it's hard to divide between the two, there's the emotional fear that feeds into that, right? Meaning this is not a purely rational thing. It's as you question, you build yourself up into a frenzy, and you make things out in your mind to be worse than they were previously. And I think that constantly throughout these stories of them questioning God, you have to keep your eye on both of those things, right? One is, what is the theological question they're asking? And the second is, how is their emotional fear contributing to make it worse? You see the same thing we'll see eventually in after the Meraglim, where there's a spiral out of control. It starts with a minimal fear, but as they get into the frenzy, it becomes straight up kfira and they want to go back to Mitzrayim because, right, even if there's a slight theological doubt and a slight emotional problem, the more you feed into it, the worse it gets. And that's, I think, a phenomenon that's worth realizing. You have it a little bit in Yom Suf also. We'll go back to Yom Suf. But they're a little bit less because it seems to be different groups rather than one group that's spiraling. Yeah, Yoni. Meaning, right, there's a theological question behind it, which is obviously, right, we can ask, which is first, the emotion or the theological doubt? I don't know. Oh, meaning that's what they say, Ayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin, right? Is he among us, right? They're clearly asking theological questions, right? Or the upshot of their freak out is a theological question. But what I think you have to keep in, right, and that's what I think, that's why I wanted to do the second half first, is that you have to keep your eye on this because, look, in real life, most people don't sit philosophically and ask these questions, right? There's fear, and they feel like God is not among them, and then that leads them to theological doubts, right? You think about after any catastrophe. But what you realize with the Jews is that they feed into each other and spiral. Meaning, in the first time they didn't have water, they still believe in God. They're just, they're a little bit scared because they're scared, but they call out to God. By the second one, they believe in God and they believe that God was once with them. And they would rather die in Mitzrayim by God's hand rather than out here where Moshe took them, right? So they're saying, we believe that God was with us in Mitzrayim and all those miracles, but we're doubtful whether he's still with us. And by the third time, they don't even say that. They just say, is God among us? And that's what God sees as the test, right? So there does seem to be a theological spiral, which is fed into by an emotional spiral and vice versa. And that's the phenomenon I want to draw your attention to, because sometimes it really does start with emotion, right? Meaning, look, in the first one, it sounds much more emotional. They're just scared. They need water, right? So they call out to God, but they haven't yet, it hasn't chipped the theological problem yet. But by the end, it becomes purely theological. They're, right? The Torah tells you it's not about water anymore. It's about Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin. Right? It's completely, the fear of water prompts a full-out theological crisis. But the from Hashem's perspective, the main problem is the theological crisis. Okay, fine. What? Right, and even though that's the case, after the God confirms that he's with them and giving them food, they still complain about water again, and again, the Torah thinks that the question isn't, do we have water, is God here? Right, that's what's weird, and that's what I want to point out, is that the line between the theological and the emotional here, they seem to be feeding into each other, and the more they panic, right, the bigger their theological doubts become. Right, and that's the phenomenon that you have to keep your eye on to understand a lot of what's going on. Okay.